You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro from Sasson Securities, back from his travels in North America. And I won't ask him if he's happy to be back. I won't ask him about his experiences in America, because we've covered that on other platforms. But David, what I will ask you about is the morning on the whole day on the JSE Securities Exchange, because the Stock Exchange News Service lit up this morning with number one, RCL Foods. Share price currently up 8%, was up 12% earlier on. African Rainbow Minerals, share price down 2.7%. Both of those companies coming out with results. What else have we got here?
Bidvest
coming out with their results as well, up by 7% this morning. Share price down nearly 1%. Ascendis, market update on recent speculation in respect of a potential offer to Ascendis Health shareholders. Anyway, it's a small company. It used to be a big company, not so much anymore. What else have we? Trellidor came out with numbers. Grindrod has disposed of something. But what I'm saying is that it's coming to the end of the results season, the June 30th results seasons, and it's been very, very busy. And what do you make of it all now that we're coming to the end of it?
I think, in fact, in a meeting this morning, I was just discussing the results in broad principle, saying that generally I think that South African managers have done pretty well in a difficult time. Or to put it another way, we thought that the times were going to be a lot more difficult than they have proved. You know, every bank, every business who lent money put out massive provisions. Even those who financed, you know, the retailers also created huge provisions. And generally, the situation turned out a lot better than we thought, and therefore those provisions have been reversed. The question, Lindsay, and I don't think we can even answer this, is where do we go to from here? You know, we've gone through a pandemic. 2020 was so difficult to understand. We recovered from a very awful situation, and we're doing better, but we're still facing a wall of worries. Now, it's funny to hear me talking like this because I'm bullish and I'm very happy that global markets keep edging their way up. But there's a lot of issues that we have to work through, from COVID itself, which is far from over. You know, if you look in America today, if you look at the headlines, the number of cases that are being admitted to hospitals, you know, and the number is serious simply because there's so many states who have not embarked on the vaccine campaign. If you look at those issues, globally, it's still an issue. It's still an issue in Japan. It's still an issue wherever we look, Australia, New Zealand. So you've got that. You've got Afghan. We're not quite sure how this is going to unfold. You know what I mean? Whether or not ISIS is going to set up there, whether it's going to be a haven for terrorism. We've got Japan, a new premier coming in. And so we keep going. Inflation is still an issue. You would like this. There's an article that Rogoff from Harvard wrote on the parallels between 1970 and 2020 in America. You know, remember in the 1970s, well, you won't remember. I certainly remember the very, very high levels of inflation that came after the Vietnam
War, and also the oil crisis.
That was
the trigger for that inflationary rise.
It was, but it also had to do with the ending of the war, with Johnson's Great Society, funding the Great Society, and a lot of parallels. So there are many things that we have to negotiate going forward. And I've got China. You know, we don't understand China's policy, where this is all going as well. So it's very as a bull, I'm just very happy with the way that the markets are performing and holding their own. But I mean, there's not a day that goes by where we don't have to negotiate something. Today, Guinea, coup in Guinea sent the aluminium
price. Yeah, no bauxite, so aluminium's at a 10-year high.
Yeah, and you understand what this means. I mean, aluminium's used in a number of different applications, particularly because it's a light metal.
Cars,
aircraft, all of these things. And China takes most of its offtake from Guinea. So a lot of things that we have to negotiate. So when we look at the results, we say, okay, that's passed. where to from here? How do we get through all of this? How do we get through this to next year? I don't think it's very easy sailing. I'm thrilled that we are where we are, but I'm saying you've got to keep discussing these points and trying to get on top of them and understand what they mean. So when we come to South Africa, I always look at this country and say, hold on, 40% plus unemployed. We've already had riots. Is this going to hit us again? Where are commodity prices going? They seem to be edging downwards other than aluminium.
We'll talk about that in a moment.
So I think Lindsay, that's my train of thought at the moment, is that I must be honest, I started to make notes yesterday.
Yes.
And I started to say, okay, write everything down, and just try to think your way through all of the things. Write that washing list, or your to-do list, and then try and get on top of each one of these issues and find out how this is going to affect where we are in times to come.
Okay. Well, let me mention a couple of things here. Afghanistan situation, it's very interesting because it's being courted now by China, Russia and Pakistan. I noticed the Pakistan defense minister, obviously it's a neighbor of Afghanistan, so it's important that they forge some sort of relationship with people who are quite honestly murderous. And they can't be looked at as anything else. And if anyone does a deal with them, then they're doing a deal with the devil. And I know I shouldn't be so forthright, but that's what I believe, because their history dictates that they are so. Then you look at something else as well. Do you know the Nikkei Dow, the Japanese market, is it at its highest level this morning since 1990, David? Yes. 1990.
No.
Which is what is how many is that? That's 31 years ago.
That's 31 years young.
Yeah.
Remember the 90s when we hit that last high.
Yes.
That's when everything was Japanese. I mean, they were leading the way. All the business books were being written by Japan, and of course the bubble burst. And they never faced the bubble like America faced it in 2008 and 9. They had the zombie banks, and they tried to negotiate their way through this, and you had this huge periods of of non-growth, of deflation, and technically if you were to put a yen in the 1990s under your mattress, 20 years later it would have bought even more than it did in those periods. That was Japan. I've never understood that market. When I say understood it, I've always heard there have been a lot of fund managers here who've liked Japan, but I've never been able to find something to put my teeth into in Japan and say, I like this company or I like that company. It's for me, it's been an enigma, a very difficult market to read.
Yes, indeed. Going through the other headlines, I mean, apart from Japan, the aluminium story you've already referenced, yes. With Guinea and coup d'etat, military. Just before we go on to that, I have to say something. Everyone's very bullish about Africa, but when you see these constant stories Ethiopia was stable. I had an Ethiopian friend in Cape Town, and he said, let's go to Ethiopia together, and I'll show you, and we can stay with my family, and you can see this beautiful, the most beautiful country. But then I said to him, I'm not really sure that I want to go. And I wasn't being disrespectful. I said, I just don't feel safe. And this was a couple of years ago. But it constantly happens. You're not bullish of Africa, are you? I mean, it's not that you're not bullish of Africa. It's you're not. You don't feel compelled to invest in Africa.
Too risky. Too much too risky. Any country in which you can get malaria, I'm not going to invest in. So just very, very difficult. Very difficult because of the politics. Because you don't know what's around the corner. You don't know. Mm. And the one thing you want as an investor is certainty.
Yes.
You want to know that your rights are protected. You want to know that if something happens, you can go to the courts, that policies are going to remain steady. They're not going to mess around with constitutional law or anything like that. And also you want to buy, I always ask myself, is there anything that I can get in Africa that I can't get in any other developed market, and I can't come out with it,
Okay, when it comes to investing is one thing. Would you go on holiday to Ethiopia? Would you go on holiday to Kenya? No. You wouldn't.
Maybe Kenya, maybe. I don't know. I'm not mad about I love the game. I love safari, as you'd call it. But, you know, I love to go to game reserves and that, and I love the wild. But I like organization. Do you know what I mean? I like to go and know that if something goes wrong, somebody's going to help me and protect me. Yes. And in Africa, I'm never quite sure. And I suppose that could apply to a lot of Asian or other countries as well. It always scares me. What happens if I get ill, or what happens if I lose something, you know, or something happens? Am I protected? I don't know. For me, it's a big fear.
Yeah, I was speaking to a chap that rented my first apartment from in Rotterdam, and a very successful man. He's got anyway, it doesn't matter what he is, but he's very successful. And he said to me, "I said, yeah, you should go to South Africa. You should go here and there, and because it's beautiful, your family would love it." He said, "I'm never ever going to go to a country where I'm not feeling safe and where there is so much inequality, because when there's inequality, there is tension, and I'd rather just go to Europe." Where there is inequality, of course, but far less inequality than a continent like Africa. And he wasn't being disparaging about Africa.
No,
he just said, at my age, I don't want to expose myself to this kind of threat.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand that. He's dead right, yeah. It's a nice way of putting it. You know, where there's inequality, there are going to be issues. Dead right.
And poverty, inequality and poverty. Okay, the coffee price. You drink coffee, don't you, David? Okay, it's at a 7-year high at the moment because problems in Brazil and problems with logistics in Vietnam, which is also a big producer. So, so this transitory inflation thing, which we go on you've got aluminium and you've got oil. Okay, oil's come off the boil, oil off the boil in the last couple of days, but everything seems that they take their turns. It's either iron ore, it's oil, or it's coffee, or it's aluminium, or it's copper. But they just keep on nudging higher after little dips here and there. So, the inflation story is still there.
Yeah, it's one of the big points. And of course it's an issue. You know, will companies be able to maintain their margins? Manufacturing under pressure, motor vehicle manufacturing under pressure because there are no computer chips, and that leads to a lower demand. If you're not going to manufacture motor cars, lower demand for platinum, palladium, and so on. So yes, it's when you write these things down, you then have to. You've got to make a list of what's the negatives and what the positives, and then you've got to decide. I haven't got to that point, but I mean there are a lot of things that I'm picking up that are concerning, and I'm not these are not bearish articles. These are just articles that you pick up whether you're reading The Economist, The Financial Times, or Wall Street Journal, whatever. You know, they're just they general articles, but that's how you put it all together. Lindsay, the markets are telling us things are okay, and I'm happy with that, but I want to be satisfied that things are okay. And from then on, I go into the corporate results and see how, what guidance is, what CEOs are saying about what lies ahead.
Yeah. Let's talk about a couple of these sets of results. The one company I didn't mention in my introduction, Steinhoff. Update on global litigation settlement proposal, share price down 13%. But the other one that I wanted to talk to you about, because I know you don't want to talk about that, AVI.
No, I'm laughing because this is one day, one day from the next. You don't know where Steinhoff is, and do we really care? You know, I just find that we're spending so much, and I'm not criticizing you, I'm just saying that it's interesting how we can't get it out of our systems, this company that is trying to survive, and it's for gamblers. You know, it's literally gamblers. If you want to punt on this coming through, yes, you might make some money. But I don't even think the underlying businesses are worth talking about in any case. Nevertheless.
Anyway, I mentioned it. AVI came out with their results. I didn't. The share price is down 0.7%. This is a company that you like. And I think one of the reasons you like it is because of its diversification, its product and revenue diversification, but also because you like the management, or you liked the management.
Very good.
Yeah, and you like...
No, I do like management.
AVI is one of the... you go on, is one of the companies, you'd phone them up and you say, please can I have an interview with the CEO? And they say, no, I'm sorry, he's not doing interview. He keeps himself to himself, or he did in the past, and it's very difficult to get an interview with him. And I quite like that. He doesn't sort of shout from the rooftops with a corporate megaphone. What did you make of their results today? You must have had a quick look at them.
I did. You know, this has been a company that have always kept costs under control.
Yes.
And I think in a very difficult time, they've come out with fairly decent results. They've got very good brands, brands that we know well. I saw that they advertised Carvela shoes, you know, which is part of their one side, Spitz. And I never understood why they got into it. Well, but you know, this is Baker's Biscuits, Five Roses Tea. A lot of brands that we use all the time. They're a very good food business. I like it. It's the result might have come below where the market was expecting. I'm not sure, and that's one of the reasons that they've fallen over the last few days. But a very steady, solid result. You know, Lindsay, at the end, it's driven by the underlying economy. You know, they can't move away from that. But as a business, well run, costs always kept constant. As you say, Simon Crutchley, person who keeps to himself, doesn't say too much, but manages as well.
Capitec came out with an update on their trading statement in respect of the half year ended 31st of August. They're always the first out with their results there. Everyone else is coming out with their results for the end of June, and Capitec coming out with theirs to the end of August quite soon, I think.
Share price, company.
Yeah, it's a great company. It really is a very good company. But do you own it?
No. I don't know why. But, I mean, it's one of the few businesses that has done very well, you know, over generations. And I was always put off by cynics. By cynics or competitors who would always tell me, remember there was at one point people turned very bearish. This was at the time that the Steinhoff story broke as well.
Yes.
About the way that they were rolling over their debt, and there are so many stories out there, and which they denied, and they were right. You know, the company has proved very solid, and it's slowly expanding into new areas, from mortgages to lending to small and medium enterprises. It's bought into trading. What's it? Easy Equities or one of them? Which one is it bought into?
I don't know.
I'm slowly getting there. And I think they are not dragged down by legacy issues like the other banks. They don't have bricks and mortar branches in every little town in the country. And therefore, they're a lot more flexible. What's the word? Fleet-footed.
Yes.
Than other banks. I like Capitec. They might be expensive, but very good business. You know, super business, and it trades at a high level because of its history. You know, and it's looking all the time. It's not a bank that keeps static.
No, it's actually. I remember distinctly when everyone was bearish of it. I saw an announcement. I was sent an email by their PR people and said they'd just recruited this particular person from another PR company. And I thought, well, this is exactly what a company should do. It says, right, we've got to send our message out there. We've got to continue to communicate with the naysayers, with the stakeholders, with the shareholders, and with everybody else. And they did it. They got somebody at the top of her game and put her in charge, and she's obviously done a very good job. It's a quality operation. David, it's Labor Day in the United States of America.
Yes.
So this is the this sort of signals the end of the US holiday period. It's all over
back
now.
To school tomorrow.
People drift back to work if they can in the United States after that terrible storm that ripped across the Northeast and also Louisiana and other places. But I wonder what the last 4 months might bring. Are you still bullish?
I don't know. I'm not bearish. I'm not bearish in a sense that I think the job numbers that came out on Friday, and I like Powell. He's quiet, he's understated, and he seems to be a very competent man. And he's been saying, we're not going to do anything. I know the media and everybody's pushing him into doing things, starting to taper and so on. But he says, we're not going to do it until there's certain signals. And I think on Friday, the job numbers signal that not everything is right in the U.S. There's still a lot of fears, and therefore wait. You know, even if it does cost us in the long run, which it could, you know, cost future generations. But I think he's going to be patient. And rates, interest rates are going to stay low for a very long time. They're not going to budge. And I think he's going to keep his bond buying program up, you know, for months to come. And I think that just supports equity markets. And I think it's against that that markets are holding their own. But there's going to become a time that things get a bit stretched. So we have to keep going from quarter to quarter, looking at results and seeing how companies are doing. But for the meantime, it's okay. You know, it's edging up. They're doing fine. Lindsay, you know where the problem is? It's not old clients, people that we've had in the market for a long time. It's what to do with the new money. That to me is the challenge. And I find that very challenging. It's not the old money that's been there and has done far better than we thought it would be. Because I thought this was going to be a zero year. Yes. I thought it was a year in which I might, if lucky, make a few percentage points. We've done significantly better than that. And I'm very happy for that. But what do we do now if you give me some money now?
Exactly what I was going to ask you. So what you're saying is that the people that had money, you didn't have to make a decision because you're in for the long term. They're already invested. Yes. But if some new money comes in and they've got, you know, 10, 20 million or something, which is the type of client that you normally deal with, David, at Sasser and Securities, you'd say to them, you know, if, let's say it was January of 2020, no, of March or April of 2020, for example, you'd say, I don't know at the moment. And you would be reticent to get in, whereas the people that were already in, you would keep in rather than sell. It's a very interesting juxtaposition of these different factors coming in. Yes. So you wouldn't have fully invested somebody maybe a year ago, but you kept the people that were already invested.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, that's fine. It's the fresh money and that's why I'm number one. Also, you know, the money that's already in, do we keep it in? We've got to ask those questions. But for me, the big challenge is what do you do with the fresh money now? You know, where do we put that? And to be honest, you've heard me going on about ASML and all these businesses. Yes. Hold on a sec. ASML's up, I don't know, 200% in the last 2 years. You say, okay, that's very nice. Yeah, I know, I love it, you know, and it's made me a hero. But do I put new clients in at these levels? Yeah, you've got to keep asking yourself that question. And that's the difficulty. So those winners that have paid us so well over 2020 and 2021, can we still buy them? You know, and that to me is the difficulty facing us at the moment. It's a challenge. I'm not you know, brushing it aside. It's a big challenge. It's the new money that's giving us the headache.
That's good to have new money. It's a nice headache to have. David, I watched a football match yesterday. It was between a team called England and another team called Andorra. Now, I don't even know where Andorra is. It's somewhere.
I don't know.
It's a tiny little place near some mountains somewhere. And obviously England were going to win, and they played their second team in the first half, and then they brought on some substitutes in the second half. But when I look at England, I think to myself, they don't have a superstar. Okay, Harry Kane's good. Mm-mm. Jack Grealish, I mean, he's not worth £100 million. He tarts around on the left wing and passes. He's good. He's a good player. He's not a great player, but he's a good player. Nah. But he's not £100 million worth of player. Nah. What England lack is a Messi or a Ronaldo.
Did you see Ronaldo's goals?
Yes, in the last 2 minutes against the Republic of Ireland. Destroyed me.
He's brilliant.
He's amazing.
No, he's brilliant. Now, you know what? And with all his nonsense, he took off his shirt and he's a clean, living, hard. But to have that passion at his age of 36, and not only that, to have the skill. I mean, both of those were headers. And, I mean, they were brilliant.
The way he leaps and he hangs in the air, that's the thing.
I know.
He's incredible.
I've seen so many chaps miss header and head this way or head that way. But he is really a superstar. And
yes, definitely.
I hats off to him. And he doesn't lose heart. No. You know, as arrogant as he is and as, You know, he thinks he's Adonis, which he probably is, but still a brilliant player. But you're right, there is no there's no Roy Keane. What would you call it? You know, one of those chapter
keeps, talisman
almost.
Roy
of the Roses, like a Roy of the Roses.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's no one in England like that. They've got lots of little skillful players who can touch the ball and pass little short passes and everything. And as they call it in Spain, tiki-taka. They do a lot of that. But apart from Harry Kane, who's very, very good indeed, and he's like a, you know, when he comes on, it's like a clarion call for the rest of the team.
He's not Ronaldo, hey?
Oh, goodness me, he's not even close. He's not even close to Ronaldo or Messi. But England needs someone like that, and I can't see where it's coming from, quite honestly.
No. Anyway. But you know what thrilled me was that when Saka scored, you know, I mean.
Oh, it was so nice.
You know what? He's been under such abuse, and he's such a sweet chap. It wasn't his fault, you know, to have made him take that penalty. But I was so thrilled that he scored, and everybody came around him, you know, and
also the crowd was very supportive of him as well. I mean, it's almost as though they said that you know, we're sorry for with the abuse that we heaped upon you. And he came on, and it was his 20th birthday, and he scored, and you can see the big smile on his face. It was really it was quite a sweet moment. Anyway, David, thank you very much for your time as always. That's
pleasure.
David Shapiro from from Sasserin Securities. And by the way, good Yom Tov, because it's
thank you.
A very big time for you, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a new year, So not meet tomorrow night.
No, okay. Again.
Day off.
again, you're dumping us. All right. David Shapiro from Sasserin Securities. And that was Shapiro World. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.